With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Volume.
All right, the NBA season is in full swing, coming down the stretch. Then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state, North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app, put in Colin. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets instantly. That is the trade. All right. The code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. We got him. This next guest, I'm honored to have. It's been a long time coming. Sometimes hard to pin the seat captain down. But nonetheless, let me get into this intro. As I said, we got the seat captain joining today, drafted by the, with the 11th pick by the Golden State Warriors in 2011, four-time NBA champion, five-time NBA All-Star, two-time All-NBA, third team, NBA All-Defensive second team, which is, I loved. That was a big one. That was a big one right there. Also, 2016, Olympic gold medalist, none other than my brother, the one and only Klay Thompson. What's up, my man?
Well, it's good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Y'all out there, we have been trying to put this together now for about a year. But, you know, I've played with Klay now for 12 years, and I know, like, you don't overly bother Klay. So I've just been kind of, like, throwing the jab every now and then, like, yo, we got to do the pod. And then Klay committed, and then he decommitted, and then he committed again, and we're here. So I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Man, let's get into it, though. I always say, you know, I get questions most about you and Steph. What's Steph like? What's Klay like? And the reality is people don't think you talk.
Really?
So I'm super excited to get you on the pod and see if I can get you to talk a little more than these people think you talk.
Well, I just talk as much as I have to.
But yeah. First off, just getting right into it, man. What was it like getting drafted by the Golden State Warriors? But you grew up as a lifelong Laker fan. Dad played for the Lakers, grew up as a Laker fan. And then you get drafted by the Golden State Warriors. What was that like? Did your dad kind of needle you a bit when that happened about going to a losing franchise. Yeah. I know how competitive y'all are.
Yeah, well, I was actually a Blazer fan and a Laker fan at simultaneously because my dad played for both teams and had great success with both franchises. So very conflicting because the Lakers stood in everybody's way. But growing up in Portland, Blazers were everything. Rose Garden was everything. And it was like being drafted by Golden State. It was a dream, really, because moving to SoCal and going to high school down there and knowing I'd be close to my family and I was still in California. I was on the West Coast. It was, it was a dream, really. I mean, it was as close to home as you could really get. And all my expectations have been exceeded in my time here. Listing off those accolades you did made me realize how blessed I am, especially, growing up watching a lot of NBA. And it's exceeded everything I ever thought would become of being a Warrior.
When you first got drafted to the Warriors in 2011, Steph is starting his third year. Mm-hmm. But at the time, dealing with ankle injuries and the whole nine, being questioned on if he'll actually pan out and all of those things. When you get drafted to the Warriors that year, what's your thought of Steph Curry? You don't know much about him. You're excited. You don't even know to get to excitement or get excited because you don't know so much about him at the time. What was your understanding of Steph at that time?
Steph was already a superstar in my eyes because I was a big college basketball fan, and the tournament run he had in 2008 or 2009 was so special. And that's when I think he really elevated himself to having a national following. And I was one of those followers, so I was already very familiar with his game. And just then on top of that, I mean, I almost had a chance to play him in college. And then NIT my freshman year, we lost to St. Mary's, who then played Davidson in the second round. So that would be
NIT?
Yeah, that would have been a very cool experience. But it didn't happen, so it's all good. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yo, who was who early in your career, and I'm taking you back, who, if any, was a vet for you that took you under their wing that you look back on? Because, and the reason I ask that question is this, and we'll get into that a little later, but I see what you're now doing for the young fellas on our team, sacrificing, teaching, instilling confidence. Who was the vet for you when you first came in the league that kind of took you under their wing, if any?
Oh, yeah. My rookie year, I would say Darrell Wright was great. I mean, Darrell had the record for most three-pointers made in a Warrior season at the time. And he was from Southern California as well. And we just had a lot in common, you know, big lanky wings who loved to shoot the three ball. He enjoys baseball just like I do. So D. Wright was a great vet to me. He would take me out to dinner. He would look after me and just teach me what the NBA life was like. So D. Wright was great. I mean, David Lee was a great vet. D. Lee was like a superstar in my eyes because I'm a rookie and he's already a all-star, one of the best players on the Knicks team, double-double machine. So I looked up to those two guys just being them so established in their careers. And I mean, Monte was great as well. Monte, I just always admired his talent. I was to be able to average 25 plus in the NBA. I really was enamored by that. I aspired to do that. So I always watched Monte closely, just how he, acted in practice or what his game day rituals were. And, then my second year, I thought Jermaine O'Neal was a great vet. Jermaine, I grew up in Portland, so I knew him from his rookie year and on. He was straight out of high school. And J.O. was just, even beyond basketball, he was the first player to really teach me about business and entrepreneurship. And he was talking that off the court, investing, long before it was ever mainstream and popular amongst players these days. And JL was really opened my mind when I to so many new things. And that's why I had so much respect for JL, because he didn't go to university and he still became an incredibly savvy business person. And he kept learning and educating himself. And that's the type of leader I love to be around. And so I give JL a ton of credit for talking about things outside of hoop that really expanded my horizons.
You spoke of Monte, and obviously Monte was traded away your first year in the league. Monte gets traded away. That's almost in a sense kind of thrusting you and Steph ahead right away.
Yeah.
Did you feel any added pressure or anything of that nature when Monte was traded away, or did that more so fall onto Steph at that time?
Yeah. I do remember when Monte was traded, and I give Monte a ton of credit because, you know, he could have not paid me no mind. And, you know, he's an established, the best player on our team. He's established, playing the same position. They drafted two guard in the lottery. He could have had a bad attitude about it, but he was a great vet in that sense and always looked out for us rookies. But when he got traded, I didn't feel the pressure, but I knew that I had an opportunity. And I'll never forget, you know, after he did get traded, we were playing the Kings at Arco Arena, and Steph might have been out that night, but he did come up to me pregame and gave me a really good pep talk, like, look, this is your time to seize this moment and be yourself, because it's right there for you to take. And that meant a lot to me. He went out his way to tell me that, especially as a 21-year-old rookie. And Steph Curry's telling me that I could be the future two guard of this team. That instilled a ton of confidence in me. I think I went 6-for-19 that night, but we got the W. And but then I had a great run after that, and that's because, you know, the team gave me so much confidence making those moves to allow me to kind of fail my rookie year and play through mistakes. And that experience did so much for me, being able to play 35 minutes against the Celtics or the Lakers and against guys that I grew up idolizing. So my rookie year was one of the best times of my life, really.
Mark Jackson said very early on, I'll never forget it, because I remember everybody saying, like, yo, he's crazy. What is he talking about? Blah, blah, blah. He said very early on a couple things. He said, I got the two baddest shooters on the planet. I got the baddest backcourt in the game. Best backcourt ever. And when he said that early on, everybody's like, ah, what's wrong with him? What is he talking about? What does he see? And yet, you guys go on to completely change the way the game of basketball is played. Like, completely. But at that time, when Mark Jackson goes on live television, national television, to say that, what did that do for you, or what did it do to you? How did you feel about it?
Well, I knew Steph was in that realm. At the time, I did not know if I was there yet. I knew I could be. What's funny is when I was really active on Twitter back then, I put my bio, even before I ever played an NBA game, I put, I'm chasing Ray Allen as far as trying to break that record or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So to kind of follow that mold of being a Ray Allen, Reggie Miller type player. And then for Mark to say those things and him not even budge about it when, you know, the experts and analysis were dogging him for it, gave me so much confidence. And Mark isn't just going to gas you up like that. He's seen the best ever play. He's played against the best ever play. So when someone like Mark Jackson says that, it did so much for me, especially internally. And I'll never forget another time when this is when I knew I had another chance to be special or do some cool things was Donnie Walsh for the Knicks. I worked out for the Knicks and I had a good workout. I was like 22 or 25 in spot shooting. And then Donnie comes up to me and he's like, Clay, you remind me so much of Reggie Miller. And when he said that, I was like, man, that's really cool because I watched so much of Reggie's film of him just coming off floppy action, pin downs, his game winning highlight reel shots. So those two instances, as far as just give me confidence from Mark to Donnie Walsh, I knew if I kept working that despite what the naysayers say, I would be able to do some really cool things in this league.
What do you think about, like, and knowing, speaking of that, the confidence that Mark Jackson, Coach Mark Jackson, instilled in you? And I always speak about that. Like, I think back to those days and, like, if there was one thing that he did is he like, Mark would put confidence on a plate and just hand it to you. Like, yeah. That's what he did. Like, he could give you confidence. Like I think that was one of his strong suits. And then you look, he was a point guard. It's in a sense what point guards do. They make you feel good. They get you the ball in your spots and all those things. And Mark had that ability as good as anyone I've ever seen. I think he was absolutely special in that department. And saying that, when you look at all of these teams around the NBA, young teams in particular, like we were, when Mark instilled that confidence, Coach Jackson, I call him, but we're speaking on here. Mm-hmm. And Mark instilling the confidence that he did. And you look at all of these young teams around the NBA who can't get a win, suck year in and year out. And knowing and understanding the confidence that he gave us at that point when the Warriors is coming off winning 23 games in the season, what do you make of none of those teams hiring him knowing what he did for us at that point in our careers?
Yeah, it's strange. It just doesn't add up because without Mark, there's no foundation for what was to come, especially defensively. I mean, we had the top-rated defense in consecutive years with Mark. And then for him to, you know, let Steph and I shoot the shots we would shoot, that was kind of taboo back then. But now I'm watching all levels of basketball and you're seeing dribble packages, step backs, transition threes. You're seeing crazy pulls from all levels, which is great. It's the evolution of the game. But if it wasn't for Mark, this would never have happened. So it does not make very much sense how he has not had another shot to lead a franchise, but I hope he really does because he was great. And those were really special memories for not only me, but when you were young and Steph and all the guys we played with, Kent, freaking HB, Festus, we were a young team. And without that kind of false bravado that Mark provided, we would have never believed we could beat a Tim Duncan-led Spurs or go to Denver and win a playoff series being 23 years old, 22, some young 20-year-olds. So I'm don't know why that hasn't happened, but Mark was great, and I really think he should get another shot because he was such a joy to play for, and he was such an incredible motivator. And I just love picking his brain about the times he faced Michael or what it was like running a pick and roll with Patrick Ewing. And because I grew up playing NBA Jam and watching so much hoops. So it was really cool just to, you know, learn from him.
Absolutely. And I second that. I always talk about just the confidence that he instilled in us. Mm-hmm. Especially in you two guys, like you said, the shots that he'd allow y'all to take and like, it started the transition in basketball of what we see today.
No question.
And then take you far back again. I remember Steve first coming in, and Steve is implementing his offense. And we're going through training camp, and he's like, Clay, swing the ball. Steph, swing the ball. Move the ball. And like every time we come down the court, he's just like, move it, move it, move it. And I remember asking him, yo, Steph and Clay, like, they get the shots here. how are they going to get these shots? And him saying, the ball will find who the ball is supposed to find. Mm. But we're going to move the ball. We're going to be a ball-moving team. With Steve coming in to implement his offense, and it's just ball movement, ball movement. And originally, we don't quite understand. We're just out there like, oh, man. Like, I remember the grunts. And, like, everybody's like, yo, this is trash. Like, he just keep telling us to pass the ball. Like, I mean, like, I remember that. That happens. Steve's implementing his new at that time. What are you thinking? Are you at all worried that you won't have the same freedom, that you won't get the same shots? At that time, what are you thinking with Coach Kerr coming in and none of us could even see, like, remotely close to the vision that he had for our offense?
Well, I didn't know Steve Kerr the Blazer because I was a Blazer fan. So, you know, knockdown shooter, I think all-time leader in three-point field goal percentage. So being a young gunner, I knew he was going to utilize my skill and appreciate my skill of being a perimeter player. And I'll never forget Steve, first week of training camp, one of his biggest emphasis was last year we were the last team in passes made per game. Mm-hmm. And then that year in 2015, we were the team with the most passes made per game. Mm-hmm. And I think that just unlocked a whole new dimension of basketball I never really seen before as far as the shooting and the athleticism combined with what we had. It was special, and I think it kind of blitzed the NBA by storm just with the small ball and the pace and the space. It was an incredible time to be a Warrior, so I do give Steve a ton of credit. He didn't he would always give Coach Jackson credit, especially for laying the foundation, but he just did a few tweaks and a little couple modifications to the offensive system that just did wonders for my game and obviously Steph, but it did so much for me as far as just being an off-ball cutter and a mover and a floor spacer that I'm kind of still playing that same role now, and it's kind of just, it's been good to me.
Absolutely. No, I think, you know, when, like I said, what it did was it not only did it, was it the beginning of a dynasty that we've all taken part in creating and building, but it was the beginning of the way basketball is played.
Yeah.
And that to me, like I always look back on that and like I always say, like I had the opportunity to play with, in my mind, the greatest team ever assembled. And one of the reasons I feel that way is, yes, we were dominant. Yes, we won championships all that way. All of that was great. But it changed the way the game was played in around the world.
Yeah. You gotta give yourself credit too, Dre. I mean, there's not, Steve came in, you know, to allow you to bring the ball off the rim, have me and Steph fly off picks. The traditional power forward was, I just remember that year, like the typical power forward is not able to stay in front of you, and they're not used to, like, God, you got to pick this guy up at half court, and then we got to guard the ball screen, the DHO. It's just so dynamic, and then you hit the lob threat. There's the backside shooter, and it just kind of – so without you, the whole thing would never have worked, and it kind of just unlocked a whole new way, a positionless style of basketball, which is, I think, the most fun to be a part of.
We've all had a frustrating experience buying tickets, even me. You all know I love to go to concerts, shows, and it can be hard to find last minute tickets. You shouldn't have to worry when you buy tickets to your next big event. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets to all the sports, music, comedy, and theater shows near you. I'm looking through the Game Time app right now, and it's really easy to find tickets at different price points. The NBA season is winding down, and we have some huge dubs games we're going to need your support at. We always talk about strength in numbers, and we need y'all to be loud at these games coming down the stretch. Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. They have all-in pricing, so you know exactly how much you're going to pay. Plus, the Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app create an account, and use the code word GREEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Create an account and use the code word GREEN, G-R-E-E-N, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, 100%. I appreciate that. You know, for me, I always say, like, man, the match couldn't have been better made in heaven. With my skill set and what I excel at, what I love to do on the basketball court, I don't care to shoot the basketball. Like, I will shoot. I'll take the shot if it's there. But, like, my whole life, I've never really cared to shoot. Now, I've spent many years of my life as a scorer.
Yeah.
I had the ability, but it never, like, I never got off on shooting the basketball. I always felt better getting an assist.
Yeah.
And we know that you are the total opposite, that you much rather get the bucket.
Love to get buckets.
But
I'll pass, but yeah.
I always said, like, the pieces couldn't have fit better together. And your skill set, Steph's skill set, and my skill set. But not only the skill sets, our demeanors could have never fit better together. Like, I am more outspoken. I'm more in your face. You're more like, this is what I'm doing. Follow me here. If I get pissed off, I'm going to let you guys know, because ultimately I want to win. Steph is more lead by example. I'll speak up and, you know, as he's growing, both of you guys speak up more and more. But I'm not going to be in your face about it. And what it did is, you know, Bob always would say, man, it's incredible that you guys still sit together. Like, but I think one of the biggest components to that is because we were so different in those aspects, it created a larger appreciation for each other.
Mm-hmm.
A space where we never bump heads because I'm not in your lane, you're not in Steph's lane, he's not in my lane. So there's never, like, any situation where there's a bump heads. And, like, there's never any pressure for you to be me, for me to be Steph, for Steph to act like you. Like,
yeah.
It's all, no, I know who you is, you know who Steph is, he know who I am, and vice versa. And with that, there's an appreciation for that. And that, to me, is what I feel like has been most special of this whole
game. I agree.
You look at teams where
it's like— spent so much time together. It's ridiculous.
like y'all two in particular— I've seen you two more than anybody I've seen in my life in the past 12 years.
Yeah.
You know, with the time that we've spent together, the success that we've had, and it's been an absolutely incredible journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you a question that it's not on any of this But I want to ask you this question. And I want to ask it because I'm afraid of the answer. And I've never asked the question. There'd be two people I'd ask the question to in particular. And it'd be you and Steph. Not really anyone else. But I'm very afraid of the answer. But be brutally honest with me. When I get ejected or something of that nature or suspended, what do you feel? How do you feel? What, like, what are your thoughts? Please be brutally honest with me. It's going to crush me, but nah. I need to hear it.
It happens. I mean, you know what, Dre, you're kind of a throwback player. The NBA is very different than it was, say, 20 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, where back then it felt like a nightly thing where it was just so physical. Now in the 2020s, times have changed. We see each other so much. The basketball world is small, from the grassroots level through college all the way to pro. Kind of know everybody. And I always know your intentions are good. You're one of the greatest winners in the history of basketball at every level. So that trumps any statistical output you could ever have. Whatever triple-double, whatever record, the one that means the most to me is that winning percentage. Playoffs, regular season, one of the greatest winning percentages in NBA history. So when you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. And me and Steph are really nice guys, like probably too nice, you know? And we could never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. So when you're not out there, it's kind of like a huge kink in our armor. And I know the other team is very happy you're not out there. I just know that for a fact. They're like, they relax a little bit. They let their hair down. They feel a little bit more like they pump their chest up a little more because, you know, our muscle's gone. Our enforcer, the heartbeat of our team is not out there. And so it does hurt, but at the end of the day, we've been through so many battles, reached the mountaintop, been down the mountain, had to climb back up, got there again. And now we have another real shot at this. And it's been like a couple tough years, but still, we're still fighting. We're still in the mix. So it does hurt. It could be disappointing in the moment, but it will never take away from what's ahead of us and what we've done. So at the end of the day, we just need you. And that like disappointment and that feeling of just like shaking your head, that just comes from like, dang, man, we can't do this without you. So we love you and we need you so badly. And these young guys need you too, because Steph and I we're leaders, but we don't talk the game like you do. We don't inspire these young guys like you do. And even when Kenny calls on you in film, and there's going to be a void there always if you're not out there. And we're not the Warriors without Money Green. That's just a fact. And you can ask anybody in the Bay, around the world, who's followed this team. We would not be the Dubs without you. So that's where dang, not again. That's where that comes from. It's just like, man, it's just hard to, do it without you, bro.
I appreciate that, yeah. Man. That took a lot for me. but I appreciate that. And, you know, I think for me, like, you know, you go through these moments,
And I don't think this would be that big a deal, say, like, 4 or 5 years ago. But there's just such a magnifying glass in our team nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we're the highest valued basketball team in the world. Mm-hmm. So with that comes credible media coverage, sensational at times. And when you're a Hall of Fame player like yourself, people are going to love to tear you down.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
I've seen that in every generation of basketball, whether it be Dennis Rodman, my favorite player, Rasheed Wallace, you, the media and fans, the pundits, they just love to point the finger, especially when you're at your weakest. So we just can't let that deter us from what we got to do.
No doubt, brother. And that's where I'm at with it. Obviously, like I said, I think for me personally, when these things happen, the thing that I think about the most is you and Steph. It's like, fuck, I can't help those guys. Like, I can't be out there with them. Like, that's all I care to do. You know, it's like, be out there with you guys, set screens, defend, find you guys, like, with great passes to get y'all shots. But more importantly, just be out there with my brothers, like competing with the guys that I've competed with my entire NBA career for the last 12 years, won championships mm-hmm. with. And I'm a work in progress and continuing to work to better myself.
Yep.
But I appreciate you and Steph, you know, for always sticking with me, being right by my side no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
That brotherhood I don't take for granted at all. And speaking of which, myself, you have a free agency coming up this summer. And, you know, and speaking of playing with, you know, you for the last 12 years, with Steph for the last 12 years and what we've built here, things change. You know, the NBA changes, cap situations change, this thing changed, that thing changed. As you go into free agency, this summer, what's a priority to you as you look at, you know, the next 3, 4, 5, whatever you decide you want to play, as you look at kind of the last segment of your career, if you will, what's important to you as you embark up on that?
I just can't believe it's here. Like, when you're in your mid-20s, it's so crazy. You think you're going to play forever, really. And you think you just maintain that athletic level that seems effortless. Oh, but then as time goes on, you really do realize how demanding this job really is. And it's so physically demanding. And I was actually struggling with that a lot in the beginning of this year because of the unknown, you know? I mean, I might have let contract situations or playing time or just making up a lot of excuses rather than just appreciating what is in front of me. And it took me and Steve like 4 real heart-to-heart talks to finally break my shell, being like, you know what? I got to have fun this year. I deserve to have fun. Like, we worked so hard to freaking win these games and play into June and have fans on the road. I mean, my first couple years, there might be a few Steph Curry jerseys in the crowd. Now it's like a whole contingent of Warrior fans on the road. It's insane. So I was kind of grappling with that a lot this year. It's almost like your own mortality as an athlete. Like, man, I might not be able to elevate like I once did, or I might not slide my feet left and right like I once did, but I can still be a heck of a player if I just give gratitude and keep that perspective. Like, I'm out here balling. Because that was hard for me these last few years when you go through injuries and you're so used to playing at a certain level, guarding a certain guy, shooting certain shots, then you have to adjust all of that. That was the hardest part of my career. And it's still hard for me, you know, when I'm used to scoring 25 in a quarter, locking up the best player. Now I got to pick my spots a lot more just precisely, which is fine. I've finally come to accept, like, look, I can still be a heck of a player. I can still be incredibly efficient. And as long as I'm having fun and being a good teammate. And you actually helped me a ton when you're like, lean into these young guys, lean into the fact you're a vet. You made X amount of money. You don't have to worry about nothing. Like, you're playing for the love of the game. And I think once I realized that and I relax a little bit rather than trying to play for a contract or an all-star nod or some accolade, but rather just play for the love of the game and the fact they get to play cards with the guys on the plane. We're playing ping pong last night after the game. We're having fun. That's the beauty of the game right there. Not trying to get another max deal or another endorsement, but just smelling the roses and appreciating all the work it took to get here. And in saying that, when it comes to free agency in July, I just got to keep that in mind. Like, yes, I want to re-sign with the Doves, but I also have to prioritize my mental health and, you know, lay out what is important to me at this point in my career. And I know we have so much basketball ahead that I haven't given it much thought, really, because if I start thinking about July 1st, then I'm just doing myself a disservice. I'm not here. I'm not thinking about the Hornets tomorrow and these must-win games this weekend. So for me, it's just about staying present, as simple as that is, staying present and appreciating being in the NBA. Because my Uncle Andy always told me, he's like, Clay, your career is going to go by in a snap of fingers. So just appreciate this life you live. It's not a right. It's really a privilege. And, you know, Uncle Andy, he'd been around the game since the Last Dance. So that helped me a lot as well.
Absolutely. In 2019, if you don't get hurt, do you approach your free agent, your whole free agency process differently at that point?
That's a big what if. That's a wow. Yeah, that was that could have been a definite possibility just because you're healthy. But at the same time, too, if I don't get hurt, and let's say we do three-peat, it's like you're not walking away from that.
That part.
You're not gonna, that hasn't been done since Shaq and Kobe, so I never would have walked away from a chance at stacking rings. And man, that was a crazy time. That was the worst, man. You know how long it is to play till the finals. It's such a long grind. And then like you tear a ligament and then you got to go right back to the gym. There was no like vacation. So I was very grateful for my family during that time because I was just kind of lost without basketball and, you know, being on crutches and just having to build all that muscle back in my quad and the atrophy. That was not fun, especially after that 5-year finals run we had. That's a lot of just mental and physical wear and tear. And I don't think, when I really think about it, if I was healthy, and I don't think I would have really tested it that hard just because like it's hard to walk away from a dynasty. Doesn't happen too often.
Yeah. Absolutely. 2019, 2020, right after this. See, Captain Clay is born.
Yes, he is.
you're kind of away from the team doing your rehab. And then all of a sudden you come back around and you're like, yo, y'all got to come on the boat.
Yeah.
And we like, what? You're like, yeah, y'all got to come on the boat. Like, I got the boat up here. I got a boat. Mm-hmm. When you got the boat, was that always in your plans to get a boat? Or was that kind of like, I'm hurt. I need something else to do to kind of take my mind. Like, what was the process of that for you?
Oh, there was always a plan to get a boat. And believe it or not, there's a San Francisco Chronicle article from 2014 or 15 where I'm quoted saying my dream one day is to own a fishing boat. And it just so happened I had some free time. I got healthy enough where I was mobile again in 2019 and I pulled the trigger. I got a big old sport fishing closed cabin boat and everyone was, all my family, my friends were like, you don't need a boat. You don't know how to drive a boat. But I was like, I'm going to take the courses. I'm going to take all the steps. And I'm not going to make any shortcuts because I love the ocean. I love having that freedom, the freedom to go, you know, to Catalina or to freaking Sam's Anchor Cafe and Tiburon. There's just a whole new world out there when you get on the water. So I was doubted, but it happened and I'm so grateful it did because I've seen a whole new side of the bay, being able to get on the water and get out to Stinson or go up the Delta. There's just so many cool waterways, and now it's a lifelong skill I have as well. So it was always a dream of mine ever since I was a kid to own a boat and become a skilled fisherman. That part I'm not there yet, but I got the captain skills down.
I love it. My first time on the boat, I told y'all, my first time on the boat, I get suspended for coming and grabbing dude because he was grabbing clay. And ironically, I couldn't get to the bay the next day or 2 days later. I was trying to get across to San Francisco to Chase Center. The Bay Bridge was shut down. Captain Clay, E. House, and the CD came across the water to Jack London. Yeah.
That was a beautiful day. That was a great day.
It was a beautiful day. Pulling up to Chase. Yep. By the way, to go to work like that.
It's nice, isn't it?
It's fire.
It's nice. It's the best. Besides like getting shots up and winning basketball games, the best part of my day is really just like getting a coffee, going to the harbor, and making my way down south to Chase Center. It's so beautiful, man.
Yeah.
It's the best.
No, it's absolutely amazing. A couple more questions before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. You spoke about Jermaine O'Neal and teaching you about the business of basketball. And I've learned a ton through the business of basketball. Jermaine O'Neal was represented by Wasserman throughout his career. You are a Wasserman athlete as well. I've had three agents. My third agent is Rich Paul, Clutch Sports, in my career, learning different things along the way and feeling the need for something different. You've had two agents in your career. What was a turning point for you when you decided, I'm going to go in a different direction? Like, what knowledge did you gain up until that point to where you felt confident enough to say, I think I want something different at this point in my career and representation? What were some of the things that you picked up at that time to make you make a decision like that? Because I feel like representation today, you get so many kids, like, my mom going to represent me, my dad going to represent me, or this person. It's like, yo, there's a whole business out here that they don't have a clue what
no,
it means.
They don't.
And it kind of goes by the wayside. What was that for you at that time, to make you make the decision who's, you know, now your current agent, Greg, that you've been with since 2018? Something like that?
17, maybe 16, around there. Wow, that's a good question. Well, I mean, I give credit to Bill Duffy as well. Bill was an incredible agent. He's been a super agent. He's been around the NBA forever. I mean, Bill was a freshman when my dad was a senior at the University of Minnesota. So that was easy for me. My dad, been around the game so long, he's like, no, we're going to go with Bill. So I was like, okay, that's cool. Love Bill. And we did great things together. He's based out of Walnut Creek, and he's still a really close friend. I know he's BP's agent, so I still get to see him and chop it up with them. But I think there came a time, you know, my sixth year where I was like, you know, we've done great things together, but maybe I can explore some new avenues, like, and just try and, you know, grow my brand, I guess. And I met with Greg, and I mean, we just kind of had similar thoughts of what the KT line could become, or my interests, what I could grow those into, that whether that be business or philanthropy. And that's the hardest part of this business, is having to have those difficult conversations. And it hurt, like, separating with BDA, but at the end of the day, like, I was just thinking, like, I kind of want some more control over just a company just for me, in a sense, I guess. But it's still awkward to even talk about, because I feel bad in a sense, like, dang, it was never personal. Like, I never really knew what that meant as a teenager or college kid, when someone's like, it's not personal, it's business, because, you know, emotions are involved. But that's really what it was. And, you know, I love Bill to death. I mean, that guy's like my dad's one of his best friends. They played college ball together. And it was just a tough switch up, really. And had great success since, had some back then. And I'm not the most hands-on person. So it helps when I have somebody in my corner who like will vet a lot of deals or bring to the table what they think is worthy of my time. And it takes a lot to get to that point. I wasn't really worried about the other ventures until we started winning and people started noticing us and we got some national notoriety. And then like, okay, I can kind of manage my time a little better. I've been in the league 5-6 years. Now I know what I want my future to look like. And that was that. And it was hard, and it was a good lesson for what was to come if I do want to keep continuing to do investing in business after basketball. You're going to have those difficult conversations. And that was the first one in my career that was really like, dang, that was hard to do. And it didn't feel good, but kind of had to be done.
Yeah, no, I respect that. conversations is tough, boy.
Yeah, man.
Those conversations.
You go through so much together. It's just hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said, a couple more, we get out of here. You and Steph's admiration for each other's jump shots, I think, is such an honorable thing. Steph is worldly known as the greatest shooter ever. And I personally think, and I think Steph feels the same. I know Steph feels the same way because I watch him speak on your jump shot. And like the way when he speaks about your jump shot, the appreciation that he has for your jump shot and for you, like it just like oozes through his answers. Like you just like you can feel how much he admires your jump shot. And so I don't even want to ask this question as far as in the sense of today, because the reality is we're old and like we kind of got our routines now, and you know, we don't have a million shooting competitions anymore like we used to have.
No.
Like we used to have shooting competitions. I used to beat you guys all the time, you know, and that just don't happen anymore. Like we don't do that anymore. But like just going back to the days of when we used to put it on the board, you know, and like all these different games. And you guys used to go back and forth. You win, he win, you win, he win, you win, you win, you win, he win, he win. Like, and that was it. And
yeah.
Like, then you got hurt. That probably took a part in everybody putting their routines together. Now everything is so calculated on how much you're doing and all these different things that has changed. But like, talk to me about, I guess his admiration is his admiration, but your admiration for his jump shot. Like your jump shots are completely different. Yours is tighter and more compact and probably more textbook than anybody in the world I've ever seen. And yet, you know, Steph's is more motion in it, but shoots a million different types of ways. Just talk to me about his jump shot and what is it that you see as one of the greatest shooters ever. If they say Steph is one, God damn it, you two.
Oh, thanks,
what
man.
Is it that you see in his jump shot that just makes it so special?
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
I think it's like the force he generates. I'm like, Steph's like maybe a buck 90, 200 max. And I'm just like, how are you able to shoot from 35 feet so accurately and easily? I think it comes from the legs, but he's incredibly strong. And then how quickly he loads his jumper from, whether it be from the dribble, off the catch, it's insane. I mean, that's what I admire, just his ability to shoot from all different angles and feet positions. Like, as long as Steph's shoulders are square to the basket, it's got a chance of going in. And that's where I'm really impressed with him, is like, you can't play him from the drive, obviously, but just how quickly he gets it off. One thing I do have on Steph, though, this is probably one of the best moments of my life, is when we were at the White House in 2015 and Mr. President Obama said my jump shot was a little prettier than Steph's. That was the one win I have over him. I was like, yes, hear that, Steph? Mr. President likes my jumper more. So that was the one time where I felt like I had a good win against Steph. I was like, nice. You might have a higher three-point percentage and more makes, but, you know, number 44 likes mine a little bit more.
By the way, I know that still stings him when President Obama said that. I'm going to tell you something else I think still stings him. How bad do you think Steph wants to beat your 14?
Probably badly. I mean, Steve One is such a good sport. You know, I could have ran that thing up to like 16, 17 threes, but maybe 18. You know, I could have... Even 20. Can you imagine making 20 threes in a game? That'd be insane.
Crazy.
But, I know he wants to beat it bad, but he's number two. So him and Zach are number two. They can stay there, hopefully. That record will be broken. Records are meant to be broken, so I'm enjoying it while I got it, but it's going to be broken one day. But I just hope they've put an asterisk next to mine, like did it in 27 minutes.
Who breaks it? If you can say right now who breaks that record, who breaks it? Or do we not even see that person?
Man, that's a great question. I mean, who shoots a high enough volume of threes? Shot 24 threes that game. That's insane. God, I mean, could be Steph. Could be, Dame Lillard's had multiple games. He had a 12 three-point game in the playoffs. Could be Dame. I mean, can't sleep on Zach. He has 13. Freaking Booker. That guy's going for 60 a few times this year. Devin could do it. That's probably short list. Maybe Kyrie. Not. That's a lot of threes, man. I don't know. Murray was close. Keegan Murray was close. I remember watching that game. He was very close. He was like 12 of 14 maybe or something. Mm-hmm. So. I think it's going to happen. I just hope it stands for a while.
Yeah. Last one. Number one, I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
This is exciting for me. Just getting here, sitting here and chopping it with you. But like I said at the beginning, more importantly, for the world to just see you talk. Mm-hmm. They don't get that opportunity. And I always appreciate that opportunity. So I wanted them to hear this. But before we get out, our last guest on the show was Drew Holiday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Drew comes from a family that has multiple NBA players in it. And you come from a family, your dad, yourself, Mikey T, multiple NBA players in it. Obviously saying everyone's in their prime. Drew say there's no chance any NBA family beats them. Yeah. Who winning these games?
Come on now.
Who winning these games, Drew?
Come on now. Come on.
Y'all
now.
Taking them easy.
It ain't easy because they, I mean, they hoopers, they NBA players, but come on now. We got dogs over here.
What are the Thompsons?
Is my dad in his prime too?
Everyone's in their prime.
Wow.
What does the Thompsons have to say about that?
Don't sleep on Trace either. Trace was a really good player. Trace got recruited to play D1 in high school. We won a state title together, but he decided to go to the MLB route, which worked out great for him. Trace would be a great sub. But man, me and my dad would be a nice two-man game. You know, he averaged 20 and 10. Guy was a bucket on the block. Great defender, quick for a big man. Then Mikey, you know, Mikey in his prime, great athlete. Had a cup of coffee in the league. Played overseas, national team for the Bahamas. And we got to play the Holiday brothers. They are definitely they're quicker than us between Aaron, Drew, and Justin. But I think with my dad on the block, I think we could beat him up a little bit on the block. And he's got me and Mikey kicking out for threes. That'd be a good one. The Lopez twins would be tough too. The Griffin brothers, the Wright brothers, a lot of great NBA brothers.
Curry's.
Too little. too little. And they got Dell too. I forgot.
Yeah.
They got a lot of shooting, huh? The Nance, Larry and his father. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Thompsons. Just for family's pride's sake. I'm sorry, Holiday family and all the other NBA families, I'm taking the Thompsons. We have the most versatility, I think.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Probably the most rings, too.
Yeah, I think so. Six between my dad and I?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's
pretty legit. Mikey got one in 2022. Not as a player.
He did, yeah. But he got one. He got a D-League ring with Santa Cruz.
Come on now.
The only time the NBA team and the G-League team won a title in the same year.
Exactly. So there's rings.
Yeah, there's rings in there.
The hardware. Man, my brother, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. It's been a long time coming. I can't thank you enough. And not just for coming on this show, but what you've meant to my life and my career.
Yeah.
I never imagined becoming who I've become in this league. And I do not take for granted at all. Like, you know, I oftentimes get like, if you ain't played with Steph and Clay, like, you wouldn't be shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
well, you can't rewrite the history books, people. Like, what are we doing?
I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, cool. What's Larry Bird without, you know, the Chief and Kevin McHale? Like,
So I'm always like, okay, cool. But the reality is regardless of how much someone can say that, someone will say that, I'll agree with them every time. I don't care. It does not make me feel a way at all because I'm so thankful. Because the reality is, regardless of what people have to say about me and if I didn't play with y'all, we had to work to make this shit happen.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It just wasn't like, oh, I'm this player and you're that player and Steph, this player, great, it worked. Like, no, we had to work and go through the ringer to actually make it happen. And I'm forever grateful for you two guys and the journey that we've been on for the last 12 years. And I hope nothing more than for us to finish this whole thing out together and be sitting there when you get your statue at Chase, when Steph get his statue at Chase, and when they come sit the bobblehead of me right next to y'all. I look forward to those days, man, because
not the bobblehead.
Right next to y'all, just super glue it to the ground so nobody can take my bobblehead away and we'll be just fine. But my brother, I can't thank you enough, man.
Appreciate that, Dre. That was fun.
Yes, sir.
You gotta reminisce sometimes.
Yes, sir. That's a wrap from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. From the champs, peace.
With With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.